The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, I'll review the classic Sonic Youth album, Daydream Nation. Colin will review a really bad movie called Super Mario Brothers. And we're going to get excited for MAGFest. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakanis.
I'm Sean Ho.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello and welcome to episode 45 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And it is raining cats and dogs outside.
It's Seattle. Fraser Crane, I just saw him walk by a cafe.
Niles!
Yes.
The mirror!
And I don't know what to do with my tall salad and scrambled eggs. I wanted an omelet.
It's pretty bad out there. I don't even know. I don't know why we're not living in Seattle. It wouldn't. I mean, the weather would not be worse.
Yeah. And
at least we can still get a cup of coffee that's not Starbucks here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been to the original Starbucks. You know, it is not interesting in the slightest.
Saw a couple of ducks with some champagne glasses. Like, this is the life.
I got some interesting facts.
No,
about
it's
Starbucks.
Not. Stupid duck that likes this weather.
Okay, what are your interesting facts about Starbucks?
Well, my mother actually used to be friends with the guy that started Starbucks. She lives in the same neighborhood. She grew up in Seattle, so.
You mean Donald Q. Starbucks?
Pretty much. She was.
Donald Q.
They were like in the
Q.
same neighborhood. They played together.
All right.
Daddy so. Starbucks?
And also,
from the Warbucks fortune.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty much it, really.
But Daddy Starbucks?
It's an interesting fact.
All right, well, that was fascinating. Thank you.
I've also
You're not
to
gonna
the,
get a
Pizza
wink
Hut,
of sleep here.
Which is in Wichita. It's kind of funny. It's a brick building.
Huh.
Pizza Hut.
Yeah. It wasn't very fascinating, too. It was pretty lame. Yeah.
That's usually the case with most original places.
Yeah. So, Sean, I know you had an interesting day today.
It was a roller coaster among...
Roller coaster of love. Roller coaster.
All right, I was doing the bass for you. Anyway.
Say what? Sorry. Go ahead, explain. What
okay,
happened?
Okay. I'll start.
All right.
So, in the morning, I started out like I usually do. I wake up at 5 in the morning. Crazy, I know. And I go to the Y and get my yayas out for the day, and then I just...
Would that be the YMCA?
Yeah.
The Young Men's Christian Association?
It's more like a spa, but yeah.
Okay.
And so anyway, I got to the locker room. I was getting everything set up. I'm like, there's something missing. Gym shorts. And I'm not going to run in jeans. Shit. So I put everything back in my thing, in my backpack. Went all the way back. Got my gym shorts. Came back. The workout was totally depleted because like a herd of women were running around the track that I usually do.
Bouncy.
It was excellent. You know, I wasn't there for long because I got tired because, you know, I was trying to catch up with them, but
well, that the fact that
you got tired from beating off in the corner.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair,
it looked like a boxing thing, but it was actually
to be fair,
isn't that supposed to be on the ceiling? Like, no, it's on the ground right here.
Yeah, it's
the wrong punching
jogging
bag.
With a hard on is probably
it's the wrong
not.
Speed bag.
Jogging with a hard on is probably not the best idea.
I was punching the lower speed bag. That's exactly what I was doing.
Oh my god.
So after that whole mess, because I don't go to the treadmill. Why don't I go to the treadmill? Because I feel like a hamster when I'm on a treadmill. You're running, you're not getting anywhere, you're a hamster.
Yeah. Makes
pretty
sense.
Much.
Yeah. So anyway, after that whole shebeal, I get to work, been there for about like a half hour. I get a call from my temp agency that they're like, okay, well.
You will need a bleep there.
No, I didn't finish the word, so it's okay. They were like, okay, they said that you're not profitable to the company. and they said you've been really slow in your numbers as compared to the other employees.
You're not profitable?
Yeah.
Are you a salesman?
No.
It's a Glengarry, Glen Ross situation?
No. No one told me the ABC.
Because, you know, coffee's for closers, Sean. So is eggnog. Give back that eggnog.
There you go. Have your eggnog.
Shoot the wolf.
So I was like, "Well, you're gonna need to leave right now, Colin. You're on a podcast.
I know, but
did they escort you out of the building to make sure you didn't steal anything?
Behind you?
Yeah. Oh no. But
I'll have you answer that, and then you're like, "No, not actually.
No. I just left, and then they call back like, "Oh, got a new job for you. Pays more, better hours."
So, you have to shoot the dude in the bed.
And then I was an astronaut and went to outer space. And then now I'm an astronaut. So.
Sweet. I thought that required like training and...
Yeah.
You're listening. Oh,
perfect
wow.
Physical health.
Okay.
Hey, I can do two things at once. Three things, really. I can do a podcast. I can listen to you do a podcast. And I can watch Demon Goat.
Oh.
You're going to need to bleep that.
Yep.
Generic
RPG game that is not that other game that we mentioned.
Oh, dirty thing you do at 50,000 feet.
God, I can't believe we're not allowed to talk about that because of you, Colin.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, that's my fault.
Everyone knows what we're referring to.
Maybe next year.
Year left.
Okay, so you got...
No, other...
You got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he technically got laid off
because I didn't sign any termination.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means you can't file a wrongful termination suit.
No, and I can't collect unemployment. So I got laid off.
Yeah. So the roller coaster is at a pretty low point then.
No, actually, because my temp agency got me an interview tomorrow.
Oh, well, way to go.
So...
Talk about a productive temp agency.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I mean, it makes sense. They're trying to sneak them in before Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, I have one good tip for you for your interview tomorrow. Okay. Don't show them your junk.
No, actually, yeah, here's your best tip, Sean.
All right, I'm going to have to.
Sean, here's your best tip. When you go in for the interview tomorrow and they hold out their hand for you to shake it,
yeah,
you plop your junk into her hand. His or her hand.
Well, because see, here's the thing. I was going to wear my crotchless slacks. And
yeah.
Because
your business chaps.
Business
chaps.
my business chipmunk chaps. And so I figured it would be easier than, you know, unzipping, pulling the underwear down and finally going to take a piss. But this time I can just walk up to it, you know? It's a lot easier.
You know what you should do is, bring a briefcase, or a regular hard shell briefcase, and be like, "Do you have a copy of your resume for us to look at?" And they're like, "Yes, it's right here in my briefcase." But secretly, what you've done is you've cut a hole into the briefcase, and you're carrying it suspiciously at waist level.
It's a special compartment.
It costs this much.
And then you say,
"It's a special compartment."
And then you say, "The resume is right here in the briefcase. Why don't you reach in there and..."
Why is there popcorn in your briefcase?
And grab it.
Whatever.
There's nothing in this briefcase but a Pez dispenser.
a very weird looking one.
My stocks are on the rise.
It's soft.
Only for a little bit. But I poop from there. Not right now, you don't.
That's terrible. I don't know why this immediately went to you sexually harassing
your prospective employer.
I know how. You told me not to show my junk.
I was saying, don't show it.
I thought that was business casual.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't show it. Just make sure, walk up to them and just get it in hand. And then when they hold your hand out, plop it in. don't let them look directly below your eye line. You lock eyes. You don't break eye contact ever.
Don't ever break eye contact. Oh my God.
You don't break.
So do I give him the same face that I get when TGI Fridays delivers my my platter.
Yes, you got to give him the O face. That's right. He gets the O face when TGI Fridays gives him his food.
Is that what you do at Fridays when the waitress comes by? You just plop your junk down in her hand.
Here's your tip.
That's my tip. That's her tip.
Just the tip.
She has
just the tip.
That's the tip.
Wow.
The tip right there.
We're working blue tonight. Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know where this came from. I think it's because of the weather. It's we're all cooped up, getting cabin fever. Even though we've only been here for not even an hour.
Cabin fever.
But it's the idea. It's the idea that, you know, the weather is so inhospitable, we might never be able to leave.
And the fact it was raining and I got fired, then jumped into another job, then I had to go to court.
For what?
For
plopping your junk in a TGI Fridays waitress.
Yeah, she didn't take too kindly to that.
She pressed charges.
And it's just internal family affairs that I'm not at liberty to discuss the details, but yeah.
Pretty much that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one.
But I had to do that, and then it's just the redeeming quality of today was because I got the interview and I played Skyward Sword, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
How was that?
See, that we're allowed to talk about.
Yeah. Skyward Sword. Yeah, not like a Skyward Sword. It's really nice, especially with the controls. It follows your hand if you have the Wii Motion Plus, and it's really nice. It feels like a really good what Twilight Princess it could have been. It feels nice.
Twilight Princess.
Twilight Princess. It was alright for the Wii, but the thing is, it didn't follow gestures. Doesn't follow your hand as much as the Skyward Sword does.
Yeah.
And it's not as emo.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
which is really nice.
It's not Shadow World.
It's more bright and sunny, and
I'm also assuming
dark and gloomy, and like
doesn't pander to the furries.
So. I live in the Shadow World.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think
I do me. That's Twilight Princess.
My comment on the game too.
Goodbye,
the world set up really nice. It feels more like an RPG.
I'm crying over you. Goodbye, horse.
Just let him sing.
I'm crying over you.
All right, well, we've really gone to some interesting places already in the first 5 minutes of this show. So what do you say we just move on to less creepy things?
Yes, please, let's do.
Like my music segment.
It's like improving.
I promise it will not be creepy.
Today. As long as the basement isn't mentioned by you, I'm cool.
I wasn't going to mention. I thought there was a moratorium on the basement.
Yeah, for you maybe.
I don't have the soundboard hooked up today.
Okay.
So you're lucky. But I'll still go vintage.
Okay,
vintage.
You'll have to do it for
vintage.
Me. But first, before you do that, there's
the Yaya Yas played in my basement in like 65. So.
There's a review of an album.
Oh yeah.
A musical album.
What album?
Oh, it's not Rock Snobs.
Well,
Rock Snobs will come later.
Yeah, that's still going to happen. I wouldn't deprive you of a funny name.
Oh.
Well, basically, 2 weeks ago, I think, I mentioned in sad music news that Thurston Moore and Kim Gordon, the two founding members of Sonic Youth, divorced after 27 years of marriage. Which was really sad.
Oh, no.
Because they were huge pioneers in indie and alternative rock and in a genre of music that I'd like to talk about here, which might be referred to as noise rock. Well, let's just get to the review. So I said that in honor of Sonic Youth and in honor of those two getting divorced, I would review their classic album, Daydream Nation, from 1988, which is actually the year I was born. So, just one of many reasons that this album is special.
You young whippersnapper, you.
But it's also one of only 50 albums chosen by the Library of Congress to be preserved in the National Recording Registry, which is pretty cool. It was number one on Pitchfork Media's top 100 albums of the 1980s. Number 14 on Spin Magazine's 100 Greatest Albums, 1985 to 2005. And number 45 on Rolling Stone 100 Greatest Album of the 1980s list. And 329 on just the 500 Greatest Albums of all time. So it's a pretty important album. Pretty critically acclaimed. The album is Daydream Nation, which was actually the fifth album by Sonic Youth and is widely considered to be their magnum opus. So the first song on the album, Teenage Riot, is probably one of the songs that defines their sound and certainly defines the sound of this album. But noise rock is characterized by, well, noise. So what these bands like to do is play around with textures and a lot of heavy distortion, and it's more about creating like a soundscape than it is really about melody or lyrics or a catchy hook or anything like that. So the thing about Daydream Nation is it's kind of hard to actually listen to it all the way through. I mean, I did it. I'll do it for all of you guys because that's what I'm here to do. I mean, Teenage Riot is pretty awesome, but by the time you get through, I don't know, halfway through the album, you just kind of want to hear something that actually sounds like a real song.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So, I hate to say it, but for an album that's, you know, one of the 500 greatest albums of all time, I would not call it my favorite album, but it is a pretty awesome album nonetheless, just because of that one song, Teenage Riot. The guitar sounds are really cool, and the lyrics in Teenage Riot are pretty awesome. So I see you guys.
Colin's face.
I love that face.
Just take a picture and put it on the vlog.
Yeah,
I kind of want to make like a GIF image and then put it up on our Tumblr page of you just doing the nod.
Yeah, I probably sound like I popped a couple of Valium before I did this review.
And I thought the album was great.
Maybe it's the 20 McNuggets you just ate.
It's starting
really
to catch
great.
Up to me.
You got that itis.
Loved it.
That's starting
and,
to catch up to me.
Especially the part with the harmony.
Vintage.
No, I mean, the thing is, but the reason.
I despise Starbucks.
But the thing is.
I used
to
drink Starbucks back when before it was cool.
No, I do actually have. I do
I
actually
burn my
have.
Lip. You know how I burn my lip?
Ow.
I ate the pizza before it was cool.
Oh,
vintage.
No, I mean, the thing about noise rock that's kind of almost seems contradictory, at least to me, I actually find it really relaxing because it sort of puts you in this sort of trance-like state, which is why I was... yeah, that was method acting. That was method podcasting right there.
Method.
Method cast.
Yeah. Method. Yeah, I'm not actually that low energy. I'm good to go. I was trying to show you what it sounds like when you're in that state, especially if you're driving. It's great music for driving, for cruising along, and you know, I do a lot of driving, so I got, you know, an hour drive, so it's perfect for listening to albums because I can basically pop in an album when I leave my house, and by the time I get to work, I'll have listened to the whole album.
All right.
So that's why I used to just listen to a lot of music on shuffle, and now I'm getting into a lot of albums that, you know, are really good to listen to all the way through, which is the case with an album like Daydream Nation, or another album that I want to briefly mention, which is Loveless by My Bloody Valentine. So I never listened to My Bloody Valentine until very recently, and I think it's because I thought I got them confused with My Chemical Romance. So I thought they were like the same type of music. Like I thought they were like an emo band, but they're not.
Yeah.
At all. The name My Bloody Valentine actually comes from a horror movie that came out in 1981. And My Bloody Valentine are, much like Sonic Youth, are a noise rock band. And Loveless, like Sonic Youth, Daydream Nation, was their sort of magnum opus type work. And I actually like it better than Daydream Nation. It's shorter for one.
I've got a question, and it's kind of snarky, but so what kind of sweater did you pick at the Hot Topic when you were buying this album?
Was it that sweet Argyle sweater you were wearing last week?
You think I got that at Hot Topic?
I don't know, dude.
Did you know sometimes it's sold by the
Gap? You think Hot Topic sells Argyle sweater vests?
Yeah. It's under clearance. You're
clearly out of touch.
Maybe not the Frederick one.
No, it's not. They would not sell an Argyle sweater vest. I'm sorry. I got that thing at JCPenney because I'm classy like that.
JCPenney's.
JCPenney? What, you didn't get at Kohl's?
He's good.
No, I buy plenty of clothes at Kohl's. We're not here to interrogate my clothing or where
maybe
I buy
you're
it.
Not. I am.
We're here to discuss an
vintage
album.
That's yeah, vintage. So that's what I'm saying. Loveless is a lot shorter. Daydreamation clocks in at around 71 minutes. That's even longer than it takes me to get to work. So that's a really long album. Loveless is only 48 minutes. So it's a lot more digestible. And it's pretty awesome. I would recommend particularly track number 5 and 6. 5 is When You Sleep. 6 is I Only Said, because they have really cool little melody lines that sort of come through. So there's like there's this background wall of noise, but then these little melody lines that come through that are subtle. But like I said, that thing about the whole trance-like state really, really does that, because it gets really repetitive, but in a way that you don't really mind, because it starts taking you off, you know, into other realms of thought, I think.
Yeah, I think it does, especially if something is I think repetitive would be that, would that be the word? I think,
yeah.
If something as repetitive as that, it tends to put your mind in other places.
And I like that kind of, that's why, you know, I listen to, you know, a lot of like post-rock bands or just instrumental stuff when I'm studying. Because that music is great for when you're trying to do, you know, if you're trying to write or do homework or something like that. Because first of all, there's no lyrics. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I can't listen to music with lyrics when I'm trying to do work.
Same here. I listen to David Holmes. He does stuff for no relation to me whatsoever. But he did the music for Ocean's 11, the Ocean's movies. So it's real. Boom. It's that same beat, but you have like, sometimes you'll have like orchestra coming in. Sometimes you'll have like jazz music or flute, you know.
Yeah.
Which is really nice, and it makes me feel like I'm pulling off a heist, which is really I'm just working.
Well, maybe you're planning a heist at least.
Yeah, planning a heist.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So noise rock has that same sort of effect. It is relaxing. I mean, it sounds weird because it's a lot of like static and distorted noises. But they put it together in such a way that it doesn't sound jarring. It really is like a soundscape. It's about texture. You know, it's like an abstract painting. Like you really can't identify the parts in an abstract painting. You can really only take it at face value. You have to look at the whole thing.
That doesn't seem difficult at all.
What do you mean?
Point what's the one who does the dots, Matisse?
So you're gonna look at, you're just gonna point at one dot and be like, I'm gonna look
that's
at this
dot.
One dot.
That's a dot.
That's a dot.
That's a dot.
Right, but what I'm saying is they don't mean anything individually.
Yeah.
It doesn't form a picture. It doesn't.
That's Monet. Monet is what I'm thinking of. I'm sorry.
Monet versus Monet.
Monet, Monet, Monet,
Monet,
Monet,
Monet.
Monet,
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 Monet, Monet, Monet, Monet.
We should make that song. The music video, and then it's Monet and Monet.
Monet, Monet, Monet.
So that's the same thing with noise rock, is like you can't really identify any of the individual instruments, or at least it's very hard to. You just have to sort of mentally take a step back from it and enjoy it as you would, you know, I almost want to say classical music.
Yeah.
You got to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, I can totally understand that.
So yeah, I mean, take my word for it. Daydream Nation is a really important album, even if it's even if it's not an album you're going to pop in and listen to all the time, you should listen to it at least once just because it's is that kind of seminal album that so much was based on it. You know, certainly Loveless is the one I just mentioned, but yeah. A lot of other bands were influenced by Sonic Youth and particularly that album.
Yeah, it's like it's just like, you know, if you wanted to like learn about grunge, you'd have to listen to Nevermind by Nirvana.
Yeah.
Or if you were trying to learn more about, you know, like classic rock, you could like take Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon or yeah. Led Zeppelin 2.
I think if you wanted to get into grunge, you would listen to Vaseline.
Yeah.
Vaseline is just one song, though.
Well, no, really, no, you just listen to all, there's a band
called Vaseline.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I think you meant the song by Stone
I thought,
Temple
yeah,
Pilots.
No. I thought you meant Stone Temple
Pilots. I mean, I would also say listen to Stone Temple Pilots.
No, Vaseline is a band. It's a grunge rock band.
I'm not saying just
Seattle
listen
based,
to...
obviously.
Yeah, I'm not saying just listen to Nirvana. I'm just saying, like, he's saying that, you know, the Sonic Youth album is the seminal album for noise rock.
I was just making a moot hipster point.
Okay.
You could just,
okay.
Great. So. Great.
Speaking about hipster points.
Yeah. Let's move on with that. So just listen to it. At least think of it as a crucial piece of music history. Because the thing about the classics is they're honestly not always the most interesting because so much has come since. But it is really cool to see where it all came from.
Genesis.
Yeah.
And I don't mean Phil Collins' Genesis.
Right. It is the genesis of noise rock. And even if noise rock is not something you've ever heard of, you'd be surprised how often it actually pops up in a lot of other genres. Just the idea of creating textures instead of creating, you know, the usual melody, harmony, counterpoint, point. Instead of playing around with textures and sound effects and production. I mean, really, that's in some ways you could say that's sort of one of the forerunners to like dubstep or something like that. So,
oh, you mean that that whole?
Not that I'm saying dubstep is good. Yeah. Yeah, except dubstep is
shit.
Shit.
Yeah.
But later, you know, we could talk in another episode about minimalism and Steve Reich and Mike Oldfield and how that relates to electronic music. Before there was electronic music. So,
okay. Yeah.
Right now, I'd like to educate you a little more, but in a more entertaining way for Sean.
Vintage.
Yeah.
Vintage.
It's time.
I swear to God, that's going to become a sound clip now.
Vintage.
No, not that.
Money.
That's just too funny.
It's time for another reading from the Rock Snobs Dictionary. It's an essential lexicon of rockological knowledge. Written by David Camp and Stephen Daly.
Vintage.
Wow. So, we're going to flip to a random page so you can hear the pages flipping so you know it's random.
Ooh. It's random, all right.
All right. Today's entry is Walter and Wendy Carlos. No, Walter / Wendy Carlos.
Okay.
That's important. It's important that it's not Walter and Wendy. You'll see. I'll just read it. Walter / Wendy Carlos. Modern electronic composer revered by snobs for his / her original music for Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange and The Shining, but better known to civilians as one of the world's most famous transsexuals, having undergone reassignment surgery in 1972, and is the artist behind Switched on Bach, a 1968 easy listening landmark that introduced the world to the Moog synthesizer and ranked with the lava lamp and hanging terrarium as a seduction accessory of its time. Never a particularly mirthful figure, Carlos sued the Scottish cult performer Momus in 1999 for his tribute song, Walter Carlos, which imagined a romantic liaison between Walter and Wendy, but oddly, accepted Weird Al Yankovic's invitation to collaborate on a spoof of Peter and the Wolf. So I just want you to see the picture. That's Walter / Wendy.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Post-op Brock. or as
that's good.
If Britney Spears got a sex change, it'll be called post-op pop.
Good. Good.
I did my job for today.
All right. Well, that's my music segment for today. So I've done my job.
Yeah. We got transvestites, which is nice, but I didn't get a funny name.
It's a transsexual.
Transsexual.
Looks like Margaret Thatcher.
It does look kind of like Margaret Thatcher. Maybe Margaret Thatcher used to be a dude.
See, this thing. It looks like Margaret Thatcher, but this dude on the opposite page looks like EDME.
Yeah. I was thinking about reading his, but the picture is funnier than the actual entry.
Yes.
So, less good for a podcast. All right, well, Colin, I'm going to kick it over to you for movies, unless you're still flipping through the book.
No, I'm good. Here, hand that to him. Okay, well,
what you got?
This week, I watched a film that I had mentioned in my top 10 cult classics list. This from last week's episode. It is a great movie. It is by far one of the true hallmarks of American cinema.
I don't like where you're going with this.
Oh, yes. It is one of those movies that is just so, so bad, but yet so good.
I'm scared.
I am, of course, talking about Super Mario Brothers.
Why?
Okay. All right. Before you all start throwing bags of flaming dog shit.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to take more Valium. I'm going to get through this.
Okay. Seriously, I'll admit, this movie is kind of shit. Let's be honest.
Kind of shit?
Yeah.
It is shit.
No, it's shitty, but let's be honest here. Can you get through a single viewing of that film without laughing your ass off?
Question is, can you get through a single viewing of that film?
Yes.
Period.
Easily. Easily. I watched it three times.
Yeah, I agree with Justin. My God. It's really bad.
It is. I mean, it's bad.
I mean, it starts out with a baby next to like
a baby hatching out of an egg.
No, and left in front of a stranger's place.
No, it was left in front of a church.
A church, yeah.
Nuns. And the baby pops out.
I've never seen that before. What movie is that from?
Baby pops out of the egg,
not a
and they're like, "No, not at all." But I mean, remember the baby hatches out of the egg, and they're like, "Holy shit!"
Colin just did the sign of the cross for those.
Yes,
you,
for those of you
who couldn't
see
it.
I mean that just so you know, and actually that's not how the movie starts off. Remember, Sean, if you remember, the movie starts off with this really shitty CG animation of two dinosaurs eating some foliage.
Yeah, I was really thrown off at the beginning of that movie. I was like, what movie are we watching?
The funny thing was,
it
was
National
voiced
Geographic film.
And the funny thing is, that voiceover done at the beginning, the voiceover done at the beginning was Dan Castellaneta.
Oh, from The Simpsons?
Yeah, the voice of Homer Simpson.
Oh, yeah. Narrated by Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah. Huh. It's kind of funny if you think about it, but
man, who else into doing this movie?
Well, and we'll get into that. Okay, so you know, it starts off, you know, this whole crap story, and yes, I'll admit it's a crappy story, but starts off with Mario and Luigi are down on their luck plumbers, and you know, Mario is the more sensible one. Mario is basically, Bob Hoskins is basically playing the straight man to John Leguizamo's Dreamer. Which, I mean, you know, we've seen that story 100 times and seen it acted far better.
Of course.
Yes. But there are some funny bits to this movie. The two brothers, not the Mario brothers, but the two Koopas. The cousins,
Iggy and Spike.
Those two are hilarious. One, because I mean, I don't know if you guys remember this. Anybody here see Short Circuit?
Oh yeah.
Iggy is played by Fisher Stevens, who played Ben in Short Circuit.
Huh.
So every time I saw him on screen as Iggy, I'm just like, oh, her pants are blazing for you, Newton and Crosby. And that just invariably made the movie better for me. But there's that. I mean, really, the movie doesn't pick up until they get transported over to the dinosaur dimension. And yes, there's dimension jumping. I don't know why. I mean, really, there are only four really good things for this movie. One is Samantha Mathis, who plays Daisy. She's fine.
Fine.
She is.
I'd tap that.
Yeah.
Vintage.
I'd hit that.
She is vintage. This movie's from like what?
1993.
Yeah.
The same year as Street Fighter. Of course.
Joseph Kong.
What was 1993? Was this 1993 like the shitty, the movie for the year for shitty movies based on video games?
Yes. Well, most movies based on video games are shit.
Yes.
Well, let's look at 1993 in film.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What happened that year?
Well,
a lot.
Jurassic Park.
Okay.
There's the top of the list.
The Fugitive.
Okay, there's two. Right.
The Firm.
Also good.
Okay. Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah, that's good. I like that one.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Shut up. I like that one.
All right, here the,
I didn't say there was anything wrong with it.
Here are the top 10 grossing films of 1993.
Okay.
How much do you want to bet that Super Mario Brothers was not in this list? Well, you don't, because you already know that it's not. Okay. Number 10, The Pelican Brief.
Yes.
Number 9, Philadelphia. Number 8, Sleepless in Seattle. Number 7, Cliffhanger. Number 6, Indecent Proposal. Number 5, The Firm. Number 4, Schindler's List. Number 3, The Fugitive. Number 2, Mrs. Doubtfire. Number 1, Jurassic Park.
Either somebody's getting torn apart, and the only happy movies...
The question is, do they have the lowest grossing films?
It's the highest gross movies that seem to be the most depressing.
Yeah, Jurassic Park is pretty depressing.
Mrs. Doubtfire is actually pretty depressing when you break it down.
Yeah.
I was being sarcastic. Jurassic Park is not depressing.
No, it's not. I'm just saying. Yeah. Most
Cliffhanger is pretty depressing.
Actually, it's funny because those two films are actually the inverse. Like, Jurassic Park is supposed to be the serious film, but you just can't help but laugh at it.
Well, because of...
Yes, I know why.
You might
want to
wash your hands before you eat anything.
We know why. And then, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire is supposed to be the happy-go-lucky comedy, but...
Condos.
It is
condos.
Really depressing.
Yeah.
But anyway...
I were to breed a flock of condos, you would have nothing to say about it.
No. This is not a species that was wiped out because of deforestation or the building of a dam. Dinosaurs had their shot, and nature selected them.
Oh, you know,
to become extinct.
And you build off what the other science wrote, and you take the next step, and then you patent it, slap it on a plastic lunchbox,
and then you're selling it. All right, anyway.
We're here to talk about Super Mario Brothers, which was actually the very first video game film released.
And it set such a shitty precedent.
Such a standard.
Yes, it did.
Technology, Jack, the wave of the future.
Interactive TV, Jack, wave of the future. Oh, God, no. Okay, all right, so I'm talking about the best bits of that. There's four. One, Samantha Mathis. She is hot.
Somebody needs to make a beer called Dennis Hopper.
Well, he's dead now, so.
So you can probably get away with it. Yeah.
That was in poor taste.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
Unlike Dennis Hopper, the beer, which would be delicious.
Dennis Hopper, the beer.
But yes.
In honor of Dennis
Hopper. Number two is Dennis Hopper. Like, come on.
As King Koopa.
Oh, God. He's hilarious in that movie. What other classic lines you got? Ba-bomb.
Ba-bomb.
Monkey.
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 Yeah.
And, okay, and the third thing is...
Shrink his head.
That song... They play every time the Goombas dance.
So, speaking of music,
what?
I just want to mention the artists who were on the soundtrack.
Run DMC.
I bet you we've heard of like barely any of them.
I bet I would have to disagree.
Really?
All right. So
let's hear it.
Walk the Dinosaur by George Clinton and the Goombas.
Wait.
Best bow, the best, but the bow,
George Clinton is in P-Funk?
Yes, as in the George Clinton. Wrote a song specifically for this movie.
I don't think it got used in the movie.
Marky Mark.
We got the shrooms.
Wait, what was his song?
I Want You by Marky Mark. Joe Satriani. Megadeth. Queen.
What?
Yeah. The Queen. Song Tie Your Mother Down by Queen is on the soundtrack.
What?
I don't know. I
can't process.
And those are the other ones. Those are the ones that you've heard of. So those are, yeah.
That's
no Run DMC.
But here's the thing, though.
Surprisingly, no
but think
Run
about
DMC.
It. But think about it. I mean, do you honestly remember hearing like any of those songs in the actual film? Because I sure as hell don't.
No, I don't remember.
I mean, Freddie Mercury's voice is actually pretty, you know, noticeable. So I mean, if there was a Queen song in there, I'm pretty sure I would have noticed it.
Hey, Luigi, we got the I work hard every day of my life.
They
I work till I break my bones.
I don't think anyone involved in that movie could say that.
What?
Oh, yeah. They worked hard every day.
Okay,
of life.
But so yeah. Samantha Mathis, Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper's just hilarious all around in that movie. None of it's supposed to be intentional, but it just is. Mm. It's just funny. And then the song and then the Goombas dancing, that's just every time I see it, I just start cracking up.
It is.
It's well,
rough.
I mean, remember that one scene, like the whole elevator fills up with Goombas and they're just hiding in the back. They're just hiding. They just, every time they keep coming on, they just keep running around behind them and then hiding behind them. And
yeah,
until it gets so full that they can't get any more in. So then they're just sitting there and it's like, hey, what's that music? And the music starts playing. So Luigi just starts standing up behind one of the Goombas. He's like, starts tilting him back and forth. To get him to start dancing. Part. And then it finally, he gets them all to start doing it. And then finally, the Goombas turn towards each other and start ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
It just cracks me up every time.
Yeah, I bet it does.
And probably my favorite bit is when they come over to the real world. You know, they're merging with everything. And Koopa's got the de-evolution gun.
Yep.
And he shoots Mario's business rival or whatever, Scapelli, I think his name was.
Yeah, you are correct.
But funny fact, I bet neither of you guys know this. Well, either all three of you. Scapelli was played by the same dude who played Carlo Rizzi in The Godfather.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. What?
Yeah. So he turned Carlo Rizzi into a monkey.
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 This movie's starting to run together. It was your friend, though. Monkey.
Monkey. I mean, look at Dennis Hopper's career after this movie. What happened? He did this, then Waterworld.
From Waterworld, I do learn that you can pee into a filter and then you can drink it.
Well, yeah, because piss is just water with, you know, shit coming out of your body.
Yeah, but that's the one thing you get from and all the jet skis riding around that movie were
nuclear powered.
Yeah, a nuclear powered and had napalm in them.
Yeah,
that's probably a bad idea.
And yeah, and that Dennis Hopper, if he loses the use of one eye, probably shouldn't be behind the wheel.
No depth perception.
No depth perception. Those other guys had two perfectly usable eyes, and they still crashed into him. No excuse.
Three Stooges style.
Should edit that into there.
Yeah, we should. Anyway, if you haven't seen Super Mario Brothers, you can easily find it. Like, actually, no, this isn't true. You actually can't find that often because
it's in the Walmart bin.
No, it's really not.
Huh?
No, when
I found a lot of copies in the Walmart bin.
Someone's
yes.
Always there. When I'm always there, I always find at least one copy.
I remember. Really, well, here's the thing. I remember
maybe most of the time two.
I was gonna say someone's buying up all the copies to drive up the price of Super Mario Brothers.
Well, yeah, because I remember going into a. I think that's right. I think we did buy our copy at Walmart eventually. I remember though going into a Hot Topic, and Hot Topic was selling it for like $20.
What?
Well, Hot Topic is a son of a bitch.
Justin's about to do a spit take.
Well, you made fun of me for getting an Argyle sweater.
No.
At Hot Topic, which I didn't.
I didn't make fun of it.
But you were about to buy a movie.
I didn't say I was going to buy
it. You actually went into a Hot Topic.
Yeah.
So, shame on you.
Not what? On me. Sometimes they have stuff worth buying.
Sometimes you just got to go inside a Hot Topic.
Sometimes you just got to go into a JCPenney.
They actually do have some pretty... some of their t-shirts are actually pretty awesome.
Some of them.
Like, there's this one. It's this blue t-shirt. It has a kitten on it, and the kitten, like, has its... it's like claws out over like a ball of yarn, and it says "Release the Kraken."
Yeah,
nice.
I
wanted to buy that shirt for myself, but I bought it for a friend instead. Yeah, that's just the kind of guy I am.
Release the Kraken. Release the Kraken.
Unlike the GIF image I put
yes.
up on the
BGM. The GIF image. Oh, that's hilarious. Well, actually, speaking of the GIF image you put up on the Tumblr, now that you know. You know, we got a lot more episodes under our belt. We wanted to let people know that, you know, we have multiple facets of outlets where you can get in contact and contribute material. I mean, we obviously have the Facebook and the Twitter, which we've always mentioned, but now we have the Tumblr page.
Of course. And you should like us on Facebook.
And you should. And also we have the blog, which is bgmpodcast.blogspot.com.
Yes, that is what I wanted to talk about here today.
Yeah.
I would like to talk about the blog, bgnpodcast.blogspot.com. Because I think it's really going to be worth your while to follow the blog, to read the blog, to comment on the blog, because there's going to be a lot. Love the blog.
Love the blog.
Like it on Facebook.
Become one with the blog.
Actually, that would be a great t-shirt. Become one with the blog.
The blog will assimilate you. Resistance is futile. But seriously, basically what we're going to be doing is...
blah, blah, blog.
We've already started this, but we're going to be putting a lot of our content that we talk about on the show, we're actually going to be writing it up and putting it on the blog.
Yeah, like our top 5, top 10 lists. Justin has already put up two of his top 5 lists.
I've put up 3 top 10, oh. 5 lists already. Yeah. I've put up... went back to the beginning of the new format all the way back in May, and I've put up my top 5 indie bands that are no longer indie. I've put up my top 5 annoyingly infectious pop songs, and I've put up my top 5 album covers.
Yeah, so for your readers out there, if you like to read instead of listen, I mean, if you don't listen to the podcast, just...
Yeah, and here's the thing. You should just tell your friends about the blog, too, because these top 5 and top 10 lists are pretty great. They're some of the best things we do on this show. And if someone who might enjoy these lists but isn't really the podcast listening type, they can still support us by just checking out the blog. And if you do listen to the show, you'll get a whole lot more out of it, because now you'll actually be able to see pictures of what we're talking about.
You can put names to faces.
Yeah, or faces to names.
Yeah.
Ooh. So visual aids.
It's pretty cool. It's also going to be a place for us to put up news and updates and links and stuff, because, you know, Facebook just sometimes doesn't cut it, and sometimes we have more to say than we want to put on Twitter.
This is true.
So I really think you should go to bgnpodcast.blogspot.com and become a follower.
Ooh, funnily enough, actually, now that you mention, you know, things we might put pictures up and have a little bit more in-depth thing talk about, we have the next big event we have upcoming. And as you know, if you're listening to the show, in September we went to SPX, and that was a live event we did, and it was went very well. And so this... we're like, what, 3 weeks away at this point?
Can I do my 12th day before you announce the thing?
Sure, Sean.
Ben, you want to do this acapella style? No, you're not into it?
No,
how about you, Colin?
It. Sure. Just 3, count me off.
2, 1.
12th date.
All right, good. Because I only have 2.
great.
Patton Oswalt. God damn you. Delicious bowl of a linguine with clam sauce. God damn. It says fart.
Oh,
I made a sound
effect. I wasn't.
Okay.
I was wondering what you were doing there.
Did he write in, if you're reading this Twitter at home, please make a fart noise.
Please make fart noise.
Fart into a jar.
It says fart. So I farted.
Okay.
With my butt. Anyways.
That's usually where you fart with.
Yeah, usually. Yes. It was really hard to get my butt all the way up by the microphone, but I did it.
He did it for
I'm
you.
I'm a ninja.
He did it for you, listeners.
I did it for you. Anyway, Doug Benson. I like cheerleaders more than I like sports, but I like sports more than I like golf.
Okay. That totally makes sense.
Nah, he did pull a real 180 on us.
Alrighty. And then that's it. So
wait, I have a request. Could you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Could you go to Brad's Raw Chips Twitter?
God.
Oh yeah, we gotta keep tabs on the enemy.
Yes.
But while he's doing that, I just wanted to mention a couple things that we mentioned on the last episode, but I want to mention it again. We have new ways for you to contribute to this show. And one is that I will now review any album that you ask me to, provided you sponsor a show segment and pitch in a couple bucks to
also
pay for my eventual therapy that I will need after you make me listen to Kid Rock or Korn or Limp Bizkit. But all you got to do is go to our website, go to castwavestudios.com, look on the side of the page, you'll see sponsor a show segment.
Oh, yes, please.
Enter the album that you want me to review, and seriously, go crazy. I will review literally anything that you ask me to review, and then just, you know, it's asking for how much you want to donate, and for $5, I will do it. Seriously, I'll do it. I'm not even kidding. I'm crazy, and I have little to live for.
It's actually it's $10.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that's $10.
I was trying to give you a break.
But I can put up another one for $5 if you want me to.
Yeah.
But well, now that I have the time to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you could do 2 for $10.
Yeah, you can do 2 for $10. Yeah.
If you do two for ten. If you do 10, I'll review 2. And
not 1 for $5, but 2 for $10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
2 for $10.
Now you're not disappointed.
I mean, if you want me to review Britney Spears, if you want me to review like Barney or like Raffy.
Yeah. Some Raffy songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the wheels on the bus go round and round.
Round and round.
Will you review Kidz Bop?
Round and round. I will review Kidz Bop 1. I'll review Kidz Bop 773.
What about Justin Bieber?
I'll even review Justin Bieber.
Oh, God.
That one might cost you a little extra.
I have a question. I have a question.
Kidz Bop Juggalos. ICP cover songs.
Justin, I have a question. Will you if I gave you $10, would you review the song Friday by Rebecca Black?
I would totally review the trade-off.
Does she have an album?
Mind you, the trade-off has to be, since I'm paying for a full album review, you have to listen to that song for an hour.
Well, first of all, this is really open to the listeners, not to you.
Hey, I listen to the show.
Okay.
It's kind of no fair because you're
but
actually.
The thing is, you're not donating it to me. You're donating it to the show.
Right. So I can actually just keep the $10 in my pocket. Because it's just, if I put it in for the show segment, that's fine.
So you're
it's just going to come back to me.
That, so there's no benefit for me to do this.
How would you know?
It's
exactly.
Not like we're gaining
$10. I don't have to put my name on the sponsor show segment, do I?
But. Justin, we so excited.
Yeah, but if it's, I'm going to know it's you, though. If it says Rebecca Black and you have to listen to it for an hour,
no.
I'm going to know it was you.
No, mind you.
Gotta get my cereal.
Dude, come on. Once this episode goes up,
gotta
everybody's
hop in the car with my
idea.
Friends. Time to go to school.
Well, if I get more than one, then I'll know more than one person did it.
Well, there you go.
Because it's Friday.
But you can't donate $10 to yourself. We don't gain any money from that. I don't know if you know how economics
Friday.
Works. Or like how math works.
I know how math works.
But if you can't donate money to yourself.
I'm donating
first
it out
comes
of pocket
Thursday,
to the,
then comes
to the
Friday,
pool,
then Saturday and Sunday afterward.
So technically, we are gaining money as a group. I'm just losing money as an individual.
That's
yeah, that's right.
No.
Yeah.
Be so excited.
That's, now who knows economics?
That's socialism.
Hey, I have Brad's raw chips.
Okay, what does it say?
All right.
Has many a post of, "Hello, friends. We are being attacked by a spammer. We apologize for any offensive material that you have been shown."
Oh, yes, please.
Is it referring to us?
I wish.
No.
That's awesome. Someone was spamming.
Someone spammed Brad Draw Chips.
Yeah.
Maybe because
do
of
you
us.
See any? I mean,
if you could see yourself,
were they advertising like?
If you could see yourself in a year from now, where would you be?
Probably the exact same place I am right now.
Who wants a detox? Raw Week starts today. Join us over at Brad's Raw 7-Day Challenge.
I hope the spammer was like spamming them with ads for Manwich.
Please. Tonight is a Manwich night. All right.
You know what part of me wants to do?
Juices are amazing as a part of the general diet, invigorate and energize and fulfill my everyday possible food.
You know what? You know what I said before about leaving flaming bags of dog shit on Brad's doorstep? I'm changing it. Just leave a single can of Manwich.
Where are these coming from?
Not in a bag or anything.
They're here every day.
It'll be like the Twilight Zone. He'll just open his door and there'll just be like a little can of Manwich.
It's the most wonderful time of the year to have another Brad's Raw 7-Day Challenge. Who's in? Starts Monday, December 5th.
Wait. That's, you know what I want to do now?
That was a tweet.
I know.
You want me to repeat it?
No. I actually
no.
No, actually, it's, you know what I want to do now? I want to tweet that I'm participating in Brad's Raw Week, but then send him a picture of my Thanksgiving feast. Here, Brad, check out what I'm doing for Raw Week.
This is cool. Ever think how much cold air is released when you reach into the cooler to grab milk, eggs, ice, .. Facebook link.
Yeah, in fact, another thing you can do if you don't want to drive all the way to Pennsylvania to leave the can of Manwich on his doorstep, just leave on his Twitter page, tweet, "Tonight feels like a Manwich night."
Yes, here's what you do. You do this. Here's what we'll do. Well, actually,
the first person.
I got
the first person.
The last one.
Okay.
Get musical and rawsome.
The first.
Yeah.
Rawsome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is how seriously I mean.
Can
about
I retweet
this.
It?
The first person.
No, you do not retweet that shit.
How the about first. Favorite it?
Okay.
No.
I'm trying.
But it's Ross.
No.
Sean, I'm trying to give him a proposition here.
First give him an incentive.
Listener, so it can't be one of us, obviously. The first person to tweet "Tonight feels like a Manwich night" on Brad's page, will get a prize.
Okay, here's what you do. Right,
possibly a Bully Going Nowhere shirt.
So here's
possibly
what we'll do.
Not tonight. You mean when it goes up on Sunday?
No. So here's what we'll do.
Mail
him
a can of Manwich.
So I'll put up a Facebook link tonight's date, which is today's the 7th.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put up a Facebook link tonight on the 7th, saying anybody who Twitters Brad's Raw Chips, and I'll give them the format how they have to do it. It's what is it?
Tonight feels like a Manwich.
No, they have to put @ Boldly Going Nowhere podcast.
Right.
Thanks, tonight's a Manwich night. And then they have to hashtag it BGN fighting the good fight.
Okay.
First person who does that, I will buy them a BGN t-shirt.
Yes.
That
awesome.
Is you have that on air. I will buy them a t-shirt. I'm not even lying.
All right. Sweet. Yeah, but yeah, if you want to find their mailing address too and start mailing that, as Ben has volunteered.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to mail him.
Mail him some Manwich.
No, we should just email him.
No, I'm going to
email
mail him.
Email campaign.
Well, I'm going to mail this shit to his house so he keeps on getting packages. He'll have to sign for him. I'll make it so it's certified.
Yeah, he has to
what,
sign
you're going
to
pull
it.
A Hunter S. Thompson?
He's going to have to certify it.
God. He's not going
to
do drugs.
No. Hunter S. Thompson, you remember Doonesbury?
Yeah.
Gary Trudeau, the guy who wrote that?
Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson sent him a manila envelope full of shit.
Because he deserves it.
Well, because the Uncle Duke character
Doonesbury
is such a
blatant ripoff. Awful.
Well, I mean, see, that's the thing. He hated it so much, he literally sent him an envelope full of excrement. his. I don't know if it was his or not, but
now I just think of Johnny Depp shitting into him. Shitting into him.
We're somewhere across, we're somewhere outside of Barstow where the drugs took hold.
We can't stop here. This is bad country.
Leave this address out. I kind of want to see how far it is.
Get in.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm being serious. I might.
All right. Well, while I'm doing this, start talking about MAGFest.
Okay. So, MAGFest, music and gaming festival. For those of you who haven't been paying attention the last couple episodes, we're pretty psyched up about this because it's 4 straight days of gaming. Pardon me. And the gaming culture. Which, you know, you're like, oh, well, you know, we can get that. You know, you can get that at E3 or you can get that at PAX and PAX East. Yeah, well, the only thing is MAGFest is right in our backyard.
Yeah, it's right. It's at the Gaylord Convention and Hotel.
In National Harbor, Maryland.
Don't. I'm sorry. I'm serious. I see you smirking over there.
Gaylord.
Stop that.
Hey, I'm going to take you to the Gaylord. Hotel and Convention Center.
Anyway. Anyway, so.
And then.
You guys are making it very difficult to be professional right now.
Sorry.
That's all right. The exciting thing about this is we've gotten a lot of. We sent some. Requests out for interviews, and we've actually got a fairly decent lineup. And we're not going to go into names right now because we have to finalize them, but
it's good.
It's going to be good. It's anybody good who's a fan of the internet or gaming culture.
Yeah, if you're a fan of the internet,
yeah,
you're going to be a fan.
If you're a fan of the interwebs.
So here's the real question, which I think that's what we should discuss for the remainder of this episode, is... what are we going to call this series of podcasts? Because SB Explosion was such an awesome name, but it was so organic.
True.
It was so natural, SB Explosion. What are we going to call the MAGFest series? MAGFestival?
Well, I mean, MAGFest itself stands for Music and Gaming Festival.
Is there a clever word we can come up with using MAGFest? Sort of like SB Explosion.
Maggot.
No.
Just starting with the word.
No, so this is a brainstorm. There are no bad ideas. There are only ideas. So let's just start throwing them out there. MAGFeast.
MAGFeast.
No, because then people are going to associate it with that shitty horror movie series.
Oh, yeah. No, this is no association to the Feast series.
Yeah.
Mag Festivus.
MAGA Men.
Mag Festivus.
Because then it's a Seinfeld reference.
That's okay, though.
Mag Festivus?
No, I'm saying that's a good thing. Mag Festivus. A Mag Festivus for the rest of us.
A Mag Festivus. Hey, we're going to have a Mag Festivus.
Happy Mag Festivus, everyone.
It's like we have the New Year's. Mazel tov.
We can call it Mag Festivus. All right, so that's one idea.
All right.
It's an idea. Anybody got any other ones?
Let me think.
Great podcasting.
Yeah.
Mag Festivus. I mean, that's the best one I've heard. And probably Mag, like the one we should use.
Faust.
Submit your name to bgnpodcast@gmail.com.
If you have any ideas, submit them on a 3x5 postcard.
Send it in a self-addressed stamped envelope.
What?
Send in a self-addressed stamped envelope. What about Mag Feist? And then we can invite Canadian pop... artist Leslie Feist.
What?
You know the Feist? She's a singer.
Magfist.
I don't like where that's
going. Sounds dirty.
Magfist.
I'll call up.
I'll punch you with my Magfist.
I'll call up Canadian artist Leslie Feist and ask if we can use her name, and call it Mag Feist. Or Mag Faust. We'll all make deals with the devil.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that one. Yeah.
Mag Faustian bargain.
Yeah, I don't want to be the kid from the, you know, the Karate Kid. I don't want to be a Karate.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a crossroads scenario.
Yeah.
I want to sell my soul to get good at the blues. I don't want to be Ralph Macchio.
Okay. You don't have to be Ralph Macchio. All right, well, Mag Festivus.
Mag Finish.
Mag Finish. All right. Well, so far, Mag Festivus.
Mag Finish.
Seems like the best.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Here's a question. We're done with the ideas. Mag
Finish.
Brainstorm
session over.
Justin, I have an idea. Since the festival does take place at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And since supposedly 2012 is the year the world is set to end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I why don't we not just not use MAGFest and just call it the beginning of the end of the world party?
Well, it's kind of wordy, but we can do that. We could do that, too.
Yeah. Too much words.
Oh, I'm sorry that you just have to speak three or four more words, Sean.
MAGFestivus.
I don't know if you've ever listened to this podcast before, Colin, but we're all about economy of words here.
Yeah.
Yeah. BT dubs, we are.
BT dubs. I mean, we've had 45-minute album reviews.
Yeah.
An hour-long top 10 lists. I don't really think economy of words is something we can even claim to have.
Well, this economy's in a boom currently.
I got something to make Colin's blood boil real quick.
Uh-huh. What's that?
Michael Bay's doing Transformers 4.
I know. Heard already.
Where's he going to go with it? He's already taken it.
God, I don't even want to do any more with this now that I've heard of that.
See, you know what? He broke the rule.
Yeah, that's true. You just broke the rules, Sean. Now you have
no
to be,
mentioning of that name
now
or that franchise.
You have to be punished.
No, no, not the whip. Oh, they're gonna eat me. Oh my
Sean,
God.
Go out and find yourself a branch.
All right.
Go cut yourself off a tree branch.
All right, let me go get on my horse real quick.
Oh,
come,
hey.
Come here.
Okay,
come here.
Hey.
Come here.
Hey. All right. We've got a suggestion here from a listener.
Oh, a listener, right?
Yes, yes. All
right, what's it say?
Magpocalypse.
Magpocalypse.
I like it.
I think that's definitely up there with Mag Festivus.
Well, we are the four horsemen of the Nerdpocalypse.
Yeah,
we could just call it the Nerdpocalypse.
All right, we'll think on this. We'll keep thinking about it. We got a month to go. All right, well, Sean is going to go cut off a tree branch to bring back to me. And until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.